Revelation chapter 3 and verse 14. If I've not told you this, we're glad to see you here today. We're glad for you to be in the house of God. But I hope that you can get and ask some help from the Word of God. Now make sure to pray for you, preacher, okay? Because I need it. Revelation chapter 3 and verse 14. And unto the angel, the church of the Laodiceans write, these things saith the Amen, the faithful and the true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold or hot. I would thou wert cold or hot. So then because thou art lukewarm, and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I am rich, increased with goods, and have need of nothing. And knowest not that thou art wretched, and miserable, and poor, and blind, and naked. I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. You can be seated this morning. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come to you now. We certainly just need your help. And we thank you, Lord, and that for just the good songs that we've heard already. Now, Lord, I pray that if there's somebody here that's lost, that does not know you, I pray that they'd get saved today before it's eternally too late. God, I pray they'd come to a place and that of repentance, that they might trust you today, that God, you have spoke to their heart, Lord, through these songs so far today. And Lord, while we preach now for a little while, God, I don't know anything else to ask you except to come by and help us now and that for just a little while. Touch us and anoint us afresh today. Lord, we can't preach on our own and in our own power. God, we need you today and that to come by and touch. Lord, we just ask now that you'd help the one that has a need. And God, I ask you to save somebody this morning that's under the sound of our voice, that God, they'd get saved today. Help us now. Save that sinner's nearest to you for these things in Jesus' name. Amen. In Revelation chapter 3, verses 14 through 18, and the last part and the latter part of the chapter, the Lord Jesus and that deals with a church that is lukewarm. They're half-hearted in what they're doing. They're blind to the situation that they're in. There's a lot of folk that way today. Listen at me now. There's a lot of folks sitting on a church pew and that blind to the situation that they're in. They're lost and dying and going to hell and think that they're all right because their name is on the roll and because they have made a profession that does not have a possession and that of the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen, you, if you're lost today, need to get saved. Amen. And I don't know anything better else to tell you today except you can come and trust the Lord Jesus. Religion ain't going to get you in. Amen. I'm glad in a finished work at Calvary that I trusted one Sunday night a long time ago. And it's just as real now as it was. As a matter of fact, it's more real now than it was then. Hey, I didn't understand some things back then. I understand more about my salvation today than I did back then. I just know that I was lost and needed to get saved, and Jesus would save me, and I come to him. Amen. I don't know where that come from, but boy, ain't it good today. Amen. But I want you to look right here and what the writer said and what John had to say right here. The Lord is writing to him, and he said, I know thy works. Can I tell you today, the Lord knows our works. He knows our hearts, you see. That's how he knows whether you're saved or you're not saved. That's how he knows whether you're working for yourself or working for him. He said, I know thy works, that thou art neither cold or hot. Then the Lord went on to say, I would thou wert cold or hot. And I want to preach on this thought for just a little while on growing cold, on being cold. Now listen, we know what it means, and that to be hot. That word hot really means to have sensible heat. But when it talks about in this situation, it means easily excited or eager or animated. So when the Lord said, I wished you were cold or hot, he said, I wished you were eager and glad about the things of me. I'm glad if you're hot, you're animated, you're eager and that to serve God. But he said right here, he said, I wished you were hot or cold or hot. Why would God and that wish that they were cold? Hey, I can guarantee today, if you're cold on God and there's something wrong in your heart, you know it today. You know when something's wrong. And listen, I'm not talking about being lukewarm. We've already preached on that. But you know when something ain't right between you and God. And that word cold simply means this. It means we're not warm and not hot. Well, that's pretty smart, ain't it? Amen. Listen, we've had some hot weather and that lately. And now it's turned off cold. I told them men out there on the front porch. I've got on this spring suit right here. And that wind was blowing out there on the front porch. And I mean, hey, I wish I had on some long handles. Amen. It got cold out there. But you know what that word cold also means? Not having warm or not having heat. But it also means to be unconcerned. It means to be wanting passion or zeal, not affected and not moving. I told you this here a while back. I went out there to my building, opened up the door one day. I looked over there on my miter saw, and guess who was laying there? Why, the serpent was laying there. But it's about 50 degrees outside, and he was just sticking his head out, and he wasn't moving none too fast. Why? He was cold, you see. He was cold natured. Reptiles are cold-natured animals, ain't they? The colder they are, the less they move. And if they get cold enough, they'll go dormant. Hey, can I tell you, I'm afraid that sometimes we're that way as Christians. We're that way as Christians. We get cold on God, and then all of a sudden we become unconcerned. We become indifferent and that toward the things of God. As I read this, I thought about the priest. As you can tell, this is going to be an exciting message now, okay? I thought about the priest and the Levite that was on the Jericho road. And they went over there and they looked at that man that had been robbed and left half dead laying in the ditch over there. And they went over there and they looked at him and passed by on the other side. I would say that they were unconcerned and indifferent.
That's right.
They were cold on God. They were religious, but they were cold, you see. And that Samaritan, who was a half-breed, if you'd let me say that, come over there to where he was and had compassion on him.
Yes, he did.
And so we find that two times in the Bible, we find that cold is used to represent people. One in this text passage and the other in Matthew 24 when the Lord is talking about the great tribulation period when he says, because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. Now there are a few reasons and a few seasons in our life that we get a little cold along the way. We have seasons, as the earth has seasons, from the end of autumn or the end of fall into the beginning of spring and all through winter. Most of the time, it's cold. And there are certain things that can make us cold in life, if you let me say that, but we ought to come out of them pretty quick. Death sometimes. I mean, I forget which passage of Scripture it is. It talks about singing songs to a man that is heartbroken. Sometimes you can sing and that when God dipped his love in my heart. Hey, but when somebody is in the middle of a trial and the world is coming to an end, it seems, hey, it's going to be a little hard for them to be hot-hearted, if you'd let me say that. I think God understands that. And that's not what I'm preaching on today. But can I tell you this, that when you and I got saved, there was something put on the inside of us. There ought to have been a fire put on the inside of you that burns down on the inside. Jeremiah talked about quitting God, and he was going to lay his Bible down and quit preaching. And he said, but he's wired. I was a fire that was in my bones. I get tired every now and again, I'll be honest with you. I do. I get tired. I get tired of pastoring. I get tired of preaching. You say, preacher, what makes you that way? Hey, can I? And I said this the other day. You all get tired of doing your job too. Amen. Y'all get tired of it too, but you know what I do? I find me a little refreshment and that in the Lord. And I just go on. Amen. He understands we get tired, and I believe that he got tired too when he was here. But he found him a place and that of refreshment. Let me encourage you to do that. But I want to preach on growing cold. I'm going to preach as fast. Well, I don't want to lie. I'm going to preach a while, okay? Let me say this. Growing cold just don't happen overnight. You just are not on fire for God one Sunday, and the next Sunday, all of a sudden, you've grown cold and indifferent and unconcerned about the things of God overnight. Number one, the action of being cold. When you're cold on God, nothing seems to move us.
Amen.
What do you mean by that? Just as sure as that Levite and that priest on the Jericho road saw that man down in the ditch, didn't move on. Listen, there are times you can remember when preaching, good preaching, you know what moves me? My pastor used to say this, and I agree with him. You know what moves me? Good preaching and bad preaching. Good preaching makes me want to preach, and bad preaching makes me want to preach. Listen, there were some times in your life that you can remember that preaching used to stir you. I mean, Bible preaching. You used to love to hear it. Hey, not only would you hear it here, but you'd tune it out on the radio, try to find tapes of it.
Amen.
To listen. And you wanted your spirit and that stirred within you. Hey, listen, when you're hot, then good preaching or that stir you on the inside. When the preacher gets up and preaches and that about the Lord Jesus Christ and that going to Calvary and dying for us in order to stir something on the inside of us. Hey, when he preaches and that on right living in order to stir something on the inside of us. The Apostle Paul in Acts 17, as he gets over to Mars Hill over there, over to Rome, and as he's in Athens, and the Bible said that his spirit was stirred within him when he saw the city wholly given to idolatry.
Yeah.
I mean, he was stirred on his. When's the last time that you got stirred on the inside?
Right.
I mean, not about a ball game, not about some secular song that you heard, but I'm talking about where God just come by and flooded your soul and stirred you on the inside.
Yeah.
When's the last time God's done that for you? When's the last time that you've let God do that for you? Some of you used to let God do that, and you weren't ashamed to cry and ashamed to raise your hand and ashamed to sing and ashamed to testify, but something has happened. There's an action or lack of an action. I mean, when preaching can't even stir you, when spirit-filled singing can't even stir you. Boy, I'm telling you, when the choir gets up to sing, and boy, I mean just sing while the ages roll. Well, we're singing about praising him and that through all eternity. Listen, when we sung this morning, page 310, listen, that glad reunion day, that ought to stir every Christian, every saved man, woman, boy, girl in here today. Friend, there is coming today that we're going to be reunited with the ones that we love. And that ought to stir us on the inside. Ought to stir us. Hey, preacher, you trying to work something up? No, I'm wanting you to find out why you've grown cold, you see. Well, what about when somebody comes and gets saved?
Amen. Yeah.
What about when you hear about somebody getting saved? You know what? I don't get jealous. I saw a fella yesterday, as a matter of fact, and he said we had about six saved there two, three weeks ago down at the church. And he said it's got a little rowdy at the church since then. I said, don't do it. Amen. Ought to be rowdy. Amen. Six of them get saved. Bless God. I ought to blow the top off the church house. I mean, hey, I just praising him for what he done. Folk come and get saved today. Well, praise the Lord. That's all we get out of ourselves. If we ain't careful, can't shed a tear. I can't say praise the Lord. Can't get excited. Why? We become cold. And that on the inside. When's the last time you got a good spiritual service? And boy, God was just moving. Folk was just having a time. But there you see it. Like an odd on long. I've been there. I know. I've been on both sides of that service. I've been nigher where man, I've had my hands up nigher praising the Lord and God filled my spirit, and there's been other times that I've sat there going, boy, I wish they'd shut up or I'd go home. Amen. I've been nigher. We grow cold on God. We need to get stirred up. Second Peter, as Peter was fixing to leave, and he told them that he was fixing to leave this tabernacle, he said, yea, I think it meet, as long as I am in this tabernacle, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance. What's made you grow cold on God? What the action that you lack in your life because of your coldness? When's the last time that you picked your Bible up and read it? When's the last time you... You know, I find myself reading my Bible sometimes and that out of duty instead of out of desire. Now, as long as I'm reading it, I think I'm... You know, as Brother Fred Wilson says, the Lord will bless faithfulness no matter what. Amen. He said one time, he said, I've never been unfaithful to church. I ain't always been right, but I've never been unfaithful to church. Amen. He said, God does bless faithfulness. But you used to love to read your Bible. You used to love to pray. You used to love. Hey, listen, I went through a time here just lately, and I don't know what happened or what was going on. I would find myself without any tracks. You used to couldn't get me to do that. And I about worked all this out. And I don't know if it was me or the devil or who or what was going on. But I wouldn't have a track. I used to. It didn't matter if I pulled up to a gas pump. It didn't matter where it's at. There's going to be a track somewhere be put out.
Praise God.
That's the only way we're going to win folk and act to Christ. Yeah. You got to tell them about the Lord Jesus Christ some way, somehow. Hey, but listen, that bothered me. That bothered me after I realized what was going on. Something had crept into my life and disturbed that part right there. But he said, preacher, that really bothered me. It really bothered me. So, well, it shouldn't have. Why shouldn't it have? Listen, I was doing something out for the Lord that he wanted me to do, and all of a sudden I quit doing it. Something happened somewhere. You see what I'm saying? You've got to look on the inside and be honest with yourself. David said, Lord, he said, cleanse thou me from my secret faults. What's that on the inside that only you and the Lord know about? What's in there that only you and him know about? How about there was a time when you used to attend church regular? Because I'm going to be honest with you, friend, I don't see how any way that you can serve God and how you can stay on fire for God if you don't attend church. I don't see it. I don't see living out in the world having to put up with all the mess that is out there and everything that bombards us out there and week after week after week and in this church continually over and over and over again. How you can remain on fire for God and not be cold. Do you enjoy coming to church? The reason you may not enjoy coming to church, you may be lost. Amen. There's a lot of folk don't enjoy church because they're unsaved.
Amen.
And that may be the reason why you don't enjoy church. You just may have never got what you needed on the inside. But you know what? If you ain't right with God, you ain't going to enjoy church either. Amen. You're going to hate preaching. You're going to hate Spirit-filled singing. Like, I mean, you're just going to hate it. I mean, it's going to bother you. It's just going to bother you to no end. But there is an action or lack of an action and that of being cold. But then number two, the agent of being cold. What do you mean? What's brought us being cold to pies? Like I say, you know whether you're cold or not. You know whether you're hot. You know, as a Christian, whether you're doing what you should do. We said, preacher, it's somebody else's fault. I always love blaming somebody else for it. I do. I love blaming somebody else. It's always easier to justify what I'm doing or not doing on somebody else. I like everybody else to take the blame but me. Amen. He said, somebody said, preacher, we had trouble in the church. We had a disagreement or somebody hurt my feelings. We just had a church problem. And that said, hey, I'm going to tell you something right now. One of the worst problems you ever has is church problems.
Amen.
I mean, you got people supposed to love God. Amen. And we don't even have enough about ourselves to try to work it out between ourselves. Amen. And so folk get mad. Boy, I believe I hit a stump right there. Amen. We don't have, let me say that again. We don't have enough about ourselves to try to work it out between ourselves. I mean, shame on us. We're supposed to be the most spiritual people in the whole world. And yet, we're going to let a disagreement, we're going to let a little problem and that come in between us and ruin our relationship, not only with the church, not only with our friend, but with God himself. Amen. Bible said in Hebrews chapter 12, looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. And so we let that rock on and roll on, and then bitterness sets in. If you ain't careful, friend, you know what will bring coldness into your life? Bitterness. You can't, let me put it to you like this. You can't be wrong with your brother and be right with God. You can't be. You can't be. You cannot be wrong with your brother and be right with God. It don't work that way. And I, listen, this is one of them messages that I don't know nothing. I'm just preaching what God's given me. You know, sometimes I stand up here and know some things. But this one right here, I don't know nothing about. I don't know if you've got an issue with somebody in your family, immediate family, in this church family. I don't know, but you need to try to work it out. Because you know what it's going to do? It's going to make you grow cold. And out on God. Hey, can I tell you, not everybody sitting in the church house is saved. Not everybody sitting in the church house is right with God. And you got to remember that when you're dealing with some people. Not everybody's got it figured out. Not everybody is on the same spiritual plane that you are or the one that you think that you're on. Amen. But he said bitterness. He said bitterness slips in and will trouble you. I know the Word of God is right, so I don't want you to misunderstand what I'm about to say right here. But man, I don't know any truer statement right here than to say that the root of bitterness springs up, troubles you. I was talking to a preacher the other day, and I may have to cut this out before it goes on the radio, but he said a preacher called another preacher, and he knows it's all third-hand information. You know how it is. And he said, well... A preacher called him. He said, well, he said, today's my 9th year anniversary. And he said, well, 9th year anniversary about what? He said, since the day they voted me out of my church. 9 years. And that other preacher said, you want me to buy you a cake and put candles on it? And he hung up on him. Now, I'm going to tell you, if you want to live in bitterness, you can live in bitterness all you want to, but it's going to trouble you. I talked to another preacher that's been voted down more than one church. And you know what he told me? He told me one time, or he's had, I mean, I don't know if they voted him out, but he's resigned under trouble, let me say that. And you know what he told me? I prefer not to think about the bad times, but the good times and the blessings that God blessed us with. I thought, man, what a preacher. What a preacher. Bitterness wires out, man. And you talking about making you cold on God, it'll make you cold. What's cold mean? It means you're unconcerned. It means you're unanimated. You're inanimate, if you let me say that. Hatefulness sets in. But this does not happen overnight. The longer you let something work and go on like that, the harder it is and that to overcome. I know that Paul and Barnabas and that had a falling out. The Bible said that the contention was so sharp between them that Paul went one way and Barnabas went another. But friend, I'm telling you what, I believe they still had things right with each other and right with God. Amen. God would have never blessed that ministry.
Amen.
I'm just telling you what the Bible says.
Come on.
Am I doing okay today?
Amen. Come on.
Amen.
That's good preaching. Come on.
But bitterness slips in. The longer we let it go, harder it is to overcome. So when somebody else, and we say somebody else is at fault, and maybe it is their problem, but it's left up to you. I remember what Brother Larry said last Sunday when he was talking about some of them boys in jail and in prison. It was holding bitterness against some people out there in the free world. He tells them, look, they don't even know what they've done to you. They have no idea what they've done. And here you are harboring all of it. Somebody else's fault. You need to fix it. It may be somebody else's fault, but you need to fix it so you can get right and that with God. Maybe a situation that takes you away from church and spiritual things. Being sick will do that. Do you know that if you get sick for any extended amount of time and you miss church and you're unable to read your Bible and pray like you should, hey friend, I'm going to tell you, you've got to work at staying warm and not cold on God. You've got to work at it. You've got to work at it. That's why we try to watch. If I'm not here on a Sunday, and listen, I can count on about one hand
How many times I've not been here on a Sunday in 16 years. But in all that time, we've either listened to preaching or found preaching on the internet and listened to it. Why? Because I won't grow cold. You say, are you really that afraid, preacher, that if you miss, I am that afraid. I am. I've done it. I know. Hey, listen, I remember missing church for almost a month, being sick one time before me and Kelly got married. And it just worked on me spiritually. It'll work on you. I don't understand why you think it won't. But sickness, family sickness, when you've got to take care of somebody else in your family. And it draws you and that away from the house of God and the things of God. And listen, by the way, children, the Bible does say for us to requite our parents. Mm-hmm. And you know what that means? If there comes a day that I have to go take care of my mom and daddy because they're sick, I'll go do it. Mm-hmm. Amen.
Yep. Amen.
Amen. Yep. Until I can't do it. Mm-hmm. As I tell mama, don't you worry. We'll find you a nice home. Sometimes it gets away from us. Well, what I'm trying to tell you is a lot of people think, well, the only thing that makes me cold on God is sin, and I'm going to deal with that. No, sometimes there are some things that draws us away that we didn't intend for that to happen the way that it did, but by the time we turn around and look, we're so far from God, we've grown cold on Him. We're doing what we probably should do in the fact of taking care of our family, but we've not worked on our spiritual side. If you're taking care of your family, then you've got to work extra hard to stay right with God. Work can take us away. You've got to work on Sundays and got to work on Wednesdays and working day in and day out and all these things will take you away from God if you let it. High schoolers go off to college, take you away from God if you let it. There's just a lot out there that draws you away. There's a lot of shiny things out there that draws you away. Hey, I'm going to tell you, you need to get good preaching. The devil and that wants you and that cold on God. Sin creeps in. Sin sets in. One thing that I remember about sin is it never knocks on the door and says, hey, I'm a busting in. I may not be talking about gross sin, talking about adultery, fornication, thievery, talking about, drunkenness, all those things. That little stuff. You know, the Bible said that it's the little foxes in the book of Ecclesiastes. It's the little foxes in there that spoil the vines. It's that little stuff. It's that little stuff. And so sin, and that separates us from God. Isaiah 59, he said, but your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear. God is not going to overlook my sin and your sin. And sin will cause our heart to become calloused.
Amen.
And that toward God. I want you to take your Bible and look, go to the book of Zechariah. Zechariah chapter 7. Stay with me now. Zechariah chapter 7. Zechariah chapter 7. Israel was not going to do right. They were bound and determined not to do right. You find Haggai, you just go to the next book, you'll find Zechariah. I believe it's Malachi. If you'll find the book of Malachi and flip back one, you'll find Zechariah. I want you to find it now. Now I'm talking about your heart getting hard. I'm talking about why singing, good spiritual singing, don't affect you anymore. Why preaching don't affect you anymore. Listen, why seeing somebody in need, just like that priest and that Levite, don't affect you. I remember one time, me and my wife, we were headed home. We'd been out in town. We was coming down the Decatur Pike there, and we was taking a long way home, And on the way, we passed a lady. She was in her work uniform, and she was walking. She worked for the Waffle House, and man, about the time I passed her, the Lord said, "You need to pick her up." And I thought, nah. And man, I got halfway home, and all the way on the way home, you need to pick her up. 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 And that's what I lived with all the way. I told my wife, we finally got almost out there to E.K. Baker, and I said, I got to turn around. We're going to go pick that girl back up. She said, okay. And so we turn around and we go get her, and we pick her up and we take her home. It's fixing to rain. You say, well, what's that got to do with anything? The fact of the matter was is that the Lord was just squeezing my heart, you see. He was just squeezing my heart. See, there's always two actions going on right there. One, that girl needed a ride home. And I don't know if I've done her any good or if me and my wife done her any good. We talked to her about church and about the Lord and all those things. She had moved up here after Katrina had happened down south. And she moved up here and got her home and got her job and all those things. But anyway, another way is God does those kind of things to try us sometimes.
Amen.
To work on our heart. He takes that heart and he squeezes on it, you know. Which one was the comedian, that Christian comedian? I sang about this the other day. Sing the man in the wheelchair. Remember that story? Sing the man in the wheelchair. Hadn't had his hair combed in forever. And the Lord said, go up there and ask him if you can comb his hair. He said, you think God does that stuff? I think he probably does sometimes. And she said, Lord, I'll go talk to him about you, but please don't make me ask him to comb his hair. Man hadn't had his hair combed in about a month. I'm just saying sometimes it's those kind things.
Amen.
We miss that sometimes. And we've been independent Baptists for so long.
Come on.
We've been independent Baptists for so long that we have got afraid of that stuff. Mm-hmm. We have honestly and literally got afraid of the direction of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Boys, if it ain't in black and white in that book, we ain't going to do it sometimes.
That's right.
Well, God didn't say that I had to pick that girl up on the side of the road or comb that old man's hair and stuff like that. Yeah, but he did tell us to be kind. Amen. He did tell us to be generous. Amen. Hey, I mean, it just goes on and on.
Amen.
To have a kind heart and a loving heart. Hey, to let our light so shine before men that they may see our good works, that they may glorify our Father, which is in heaven. You know what? I'll not get any glory for taking that woman home that day. The Lord will get all the glory for that one. I want you to look in Zechariah 7. Look in verse 8. Now I'm talking about our heart has got calloused. Heart has got hard. And where the Lord came unto Zechariah saying, thus speaketh the Lord of hosts, saying, execute true judgment and show mercy and compassion every man to his brother. Boy, ain't that good. He said, I want you to execute true judgment. Not false judgment, but true judgment. Do what was right. Do what was right. And he said, but show mercy and compassion every man to his brother. And oppress not the widow, nor the fatherless, the stranger, nor the poor. And let none of you imagine evil against his brother in your heart. Look at verse 11. But they refused to hearken and pulled away the shoulder. You ever seen a youngin' and you try to go get a youngin' that ain't doing right? And what's one of the first things that they do? They jerk that old shoulder away, don't they? And I pulled away the shoulder and stopped their ears that they should not hear. Yea, they made their hearts, what? As adamant stone, lest they should hear the law and the words which the Lord of hosts has sent in his spirit by the former prophets. Therefore came a great wrath from the Lord of hosts. So sin slips in. The Lord said, I want you to do right. I want you to act right. I want you to live right. I want you to do right. But he said, you've said no, and you've pulled away, and you've calloused your heart. Your heart's become as adamant stone. That's that old hard heart. What's got your heart hard? And you know, some of this stuff goes together, by the way. You get drawn away from God for some other reason, and the next thing you know, sin has slipped in. Huh? You didn't intend to become cold on God, but boy, I tell you, it's happened. It's happened. You can't enjoy it. You can't enjoy God or all the things of God. But then, number three, the admission of being cold. Let me say this. You've got to do more than just admit that you're cold today. It's just like being lost. You can admit all day long that you're lost, but until you come to the place, not only do you admit that you're lost, but you got to do something about it. Being cold is the same way. Hey, listen, if you ain't right with God simply because you've laid the cross down, you can come pick the cross up and say, Lord, I'm ready to go. I want to go. But you know what? If there's an ought between you and your brother, you're going to have to deal with that.
Amen.
You're going to have to deal with that. Before you get right with God, you're going to have to deal with that ought that's between you and them. If there's sin in there, you're going to have to deal with that. I don't know what makes you cold on God. Preacher, I sure did. It might be a situation. I know this, as I preached revival. Two stories I'm going to tell you, then we'll close. I remember when I was a kid, I was probably about 5 or 6 years old. There was a young man in our church that I grew up in. He had joined the Navy. And they spent a lot of time. This boy spent a lot of time in our house. And grew up down the road from us there. And he loved my dad. And he would come up here and just spend time at the house. And so in the midst of being in the Navy, he got in a car wreck and got killed. And I remember when I was just about 5 or 6 years old, and I remember going down there to the house and just sitting. I remember sitting in a kitchen table chair, just a kitchen chair that sat at the kitchen table. And I remember sitting there with that boy's mama, and I remember her sitting right here beside me. I was just a little bitty feller, and she sat right here. I remember just holding her hand and her crying. Now 6 years old, I didn't know what was going on. Other than the fact, I know that this boy had died. That's all I knew. But I remember sitting there just holding her hand. And I remember it was probably, I guess it had been almost 10 years later. I remember we had revival. We had a community revival. And I remember being part of that community revival. And I remember the first night of that community revival that her testified. She came up there and got right. And for 10 years, she had suffered in bitterness and malice toward God for him taking her boy. 10 years she'd suffered. Now, listen, I was just 5 or 6 years old, 7 at the best. So we're talking about 9 or 10 years that she'd suffered that way. I don't think it started out that way, but I guarantee you, year after year, month after month, that heart just got a little harder and a little harder, a little harder. A little harder. My wife will tell you, I preached revival just back last year, the end of last year. And I think I've told you all this, but the second night of revival, I preached on Job. There was a day out of Job chapter 1. And I preached on how Job handled that day when his world come to an end. If you don't think Job's world come to an end,
amen,
you're mistaken. I mean, he lost his finances. He lost every child that he had. One would have been bad enough. Hey, it's bad enough. Hey, can you imagine going out there and standing under the undertaker's tent and bury one child, but Job buried every one that he had that day.
Right.
And there come his wife out there. And said, Job, why don't you just... said, dost thou still retain thine integrity? He said, why don't you just curse God and die? And he said, thou speakest as one of the foolish women. Shall we not receive good at the hand of God and evil also? And the Bible said, in all this, Job did not sin with his lips. So here comes three friends, and that long that sat down in the dust and ashes with Job. And for 7 days, they just sat there, and they wept, and they cried with him. And on the 8th day, they began to accuse Job of having something wrong between him and God. You get out through there at one point, he said, miserable comforters are ye. So anyway, I preached on that passage of Scripture that there come a day, how Job handled that. That God was still on his throne.
Amen.
The day that all that happened to Job.
Right.
That no matter what happens, if you're saved, you're still saved.
Amen. Thank God.
Ain't that good to know?
Yeah.
Ain't you happy today that at least the world may come to an end, but listen, if Jesus is on the inside and wiped you clean and made you clean and washed you clean, you're still clean. Amen.
That's right. Hallelujah.
So I got to preach it on that. So I got done and let the preacher give the invitation. So I was over there in the corner of the church and praying. And he come over there and got me. And he said, would you come up here and help me pray for this lady? He said she lost her son in a car wreck about 3 years ago. And she's not done good in them 3 years. So we went up there and prayed for her. And boy, she done some business with God. She really did. Because I went back. I wasn't preaching anymore that week. But on that Thursday night, I went back and got to hear her testify about how she had had the best 2 days that she had had since all that happened. Why? She got her heart right with God, you see. She'd been cold on God. There had to be an admission. Hey, listen, the prodigal was down there messing in sin in Luke 15, but he had to come to himself and realize what it's going to take to fix it and then do it. Hey, listen, King David realized what he had done, but he had to fix it, and he did. I don't know what's made you cold, but I know you can fix it.
Amen.
I know you can fix it. Let's bow our heads.